They call me the half tribe of Manasseh. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, as we come to your word, Father, would you speak? Your word is life. Your word is life. Your word is power, Lord God. Your word is healing. So would you come and let your word be manifested in our midst in Jesus' name? Amen. 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 Okay. I've been told that I can't wander, and already I want to move forward. Like, already I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do it. I'm too far away from you. I need to connect. Am I still okay? Just okay, praise God. Amen. Well, say, I know you said hello to the person next to you, but do say, how's the week? Because you're going to be talking to them a bit more. Because I want us to have more of a Bible study than a sermon. I want you guys to talk to each other. And I want you to talk to me as well, okay? So if the person sat next to you, it's just been the shoulder, not the face, that you're acquainted with, get acquainted with the face, not just the shoulder, because you're going to be talking a lot more to the face, not the shoulder, okay? So just let the person next to you feel comfortable, because you're going to be asking them some personal questions. And it's always best to know someone before you start asking them personal questions. Like, deep personal questions. Because I'm sure you all have an opinion about that, okay? Hasn't it been an interesting week? Really interesting week. Two very interesting things happened. And it would be great for the person that sat next to you, for them to know what you really think about the Donald Trump assassination attempt. Like what you really think about it. Like, what do you really think is going on? How many of you know Penn and Teller? Penn and Teller, they have this stunt where someone shoots a bullet and then he catches it in his teeth. I'm just saying. Anyway, isn't it interesting? I only put that picture up there not to kind of have a conversation about whether you're a Republican or Democrat or whatever. But it was interesting. He stood up after the thing and he said these words, fight, fight, fight. Those were the first words he said when he got up, actually. Well, he said, give me a moment, fight, fight, fight. Actually, he said, let me put my shoe on. Give me a moment, fight, fight, fight. But it's interesting that those were fight, fight, fight. And then who's fighting? Who's fighting? What are you asking the people to fight for? Who are you asking the people to fight for? How are you asking the people to fight? What do we take away from those words? Fight, fight, fight. And then on UK soil, in Leeds, rioting breaks out. And fight breaks out. And then people start fighting the police, fighting their neighbors, literally tearing off pavement, like literally ripping the pavement apart and getting into confrontations and fights. And again, that question was, who are you fighting? Why are you fighting? What are you fighting for? I would have loved to go around the rioters and said, what are you fighting for? What is this fight for? Like, what's the cause here? Are you fighting against the It's interesting though, because life has a way of bringing a fight to your doorstep sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to fight, sometimes you don't pick a fight, but life sometimes has a way of bringing the fight to your doorstep. As Helen said, I've got four kids. One of them's an adult, I think. Well, he's 18, so I guess he's an adult, I know. Two of them teenagers, and then Reuben's on his way. Now, when you've got kids, especially when you have teenage kids, as much as you don't want to fight, as a pastor, the fight finds you. Whether it's you're fighting against them, which you shouldn't, or you're fighting for them, or you're fighting with them, but either way, you're in a fight somehow. Do you know what I mean? You know, you're fighting the school because you want your kids to have this, and the school is saying that, and they don't want to do it, so you're fighting for them, and they're fighting with them, and then they're fighting you, and it's just like, what are we fighting for? Yeah, what are we fighting for? And why are we fighting? You know? But it's interesting, actually, because as that sounds, I was going to ask you to ask the person next to you if you've ever been in a fight, but that's why I said you need to get to know not just their shoulder. Go on, ask them. Ask the person next to you, have you ever been in a fight? You're in the house of God. I'm not going to qualify it. I'm not going to qualify it. Have you ever been in a fight? And I'm not talking about MMA. I'm not talking about, like, you know, Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu. Sometimes we just have to fight. And even as Christians, and this one I'll talk to you, I want us to have a conversation with about this morning. See, because even Jesus in Matthew 10:34 said, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth, which is quite surprising for Jesus to say, because the moment he was born, the angels declared peace on earth and goodwill to all men. He says, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Hello. And then he says, if a time came, he was saying to his disciples, the time is coming. If you have a purse, you take it. If you have a bag, take it. If you don't have a sword, sell your jacket and buy one. So Jesus, Prince of Peace. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Prince of Peace. Saying to his disciples, there is a time where there is a fight to be fought. Now, Jesus is not advocating for violence or physical violence, because Peter took it literally, drew his sword, and cut someone's ear off. And Jesus said, no, that wasn't what I was talking about. He took the ear, put it back on. So Jesus is not talking about physical violence, but there is a fight to fight. So this morning, we're going to be reading from Judges chapter 3. And I'm going to read the passage. We're going to look at the three verses. And just with the people next to you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to discuss it. And then we'll kind of bring it all together. This is what Judges chapter 3, 1 to 6 says. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. So the Lord left people in the land to test Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach them warfare. He did this to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. That's the first question I'll be asking you to talk about. Why? The five rulers of the Philistines he left, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So three questions that I'll be asking you. Why? Why was it important for the Lord? Why was it important for God that a generation should be taught the art of warfare? There was a generation who did not know warfare. There was a generation who did not know battle. And the Lord was like, you need to learn how to fight. Why? Discuss. You got 2 minutes. Don't look at me. Don't look at the shoulder. Look at the face. And if you're on your own, just mill about to someone. move seats. Feel free to shuffle your seats. Why? Uh-uh. If there's somebody sat next to you and they've just got like blank thing, just nudge them and say, talk to me. I won't bite. Nudge them and say, talk to me. I've got thoughts. You got 60 seconds and I'll get some of your feedback. All right, I'll make it 20. Okay, any thoughts? I've been told that I can't move out a shot, so you'll have to just shout out at me, okay? So any thoughts? Why was it important to God that a generation to be taught the art of warfare? Yes. They had to possess their possessions. That's a good one. Pam, you had your hand? To defend themselves. That's a good one. Because fights will find us. Because fights will find us. Any others? It's kind of like an open book exam. Yes. God, they need God's strength. That's right. Yes, and one more. Yes. I'm going to have to stop you there because you're in danger of preaching my sermon. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Let's move quickly away from that for a second. Praise God. Yes. You're going to say the same. To protect your values and your faith in God. I didn't put this question here, but it's interesting. The question, why didn't the previous generation teach that generation how to war? Was there an expectation there? How did it happen that a generation arose that didn't know warfare? But yes, the Bible is clear that whether we want to acknowledge it, whether we see it, whether we're aware of it, we are in a spiritual warfare. And Paul tells us that we must be vigilant. He says, you have an enemy. That enemy is prowling, actively looking for somebody to destroy. So you as a Christian need to know how to defend yourself when that happens. And so God wanted his people, let me preach your sermon then. God wanted to establish a kingdom. So hold that thought. Second question, what is the connection between warfare and obeying the Lord's commands? If I flick back, it said there, he did this to see if they would, oh, this is verse 4. They were left, the people, to see if the Israelites would obey the Lord's commands. What's the connection then between warfare and obeying the Lord's commands? Again, 1 minute, discuss. And then we've got one more question and I'll bring it together. The question, yes. What is the connection between warfare and obeying the Lord's commands? Yes. If you don't walk in obedience, you open yourself up to attacks. Yes, that is correct. Any others? Uh-huh. That's right. I've got one from there, yeah. That's right. That's right. You have to actually be active, and obedience is active, an active part. This is what God said to Moses before they entered the land. He says, "Now therefore, if you'll indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant," the prerequisite is obedience, "you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." You see, what God was doing, he wanted a people that was holy. A kingdom is the domain and the dominion of the king. Where the king is, his laws, his rules, his precepts are what govern the domain, the dominion. And so if you have a king and he has dominion and a domain, for that dominion to be established, those laws and precepts are what establishes the governance. Does that make sense? So if you have a king and a kingdom, what advances the kingdom, what establishes the kingdom are the precepts of the kingdom, the constitution, if you want to put it that way, the commandments. So it's one thing to say, this is our king, this is our king's domain, and we are his people, but we don't keep his laws, we don't follow his precepts, we don't do any of that stuff. Does that work? It doesn't work. So that's the connection, because you see, the whole intention, what God was wanted, have I got the second verse? Yes. I'm going to fast forward to Revelation. This is Revelation. It says, "To him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion." I like that word, dominion. And in fact, Peter reiterates this in 2 Peter when he says, "You are a chosen generation, a holy people." This idea of dominion, the king's domain. This idea of the king's rule and the king's reign. I'm afraid that in our generation, we kind of have lost that somewhat. See, what God intended for the people was for them to be a light to the Gentiles. And I'm not just talking about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That is true. Let your light shine. But he wanted a nation where people would see the reflections of all of God's dominion, all of God's love. He wanted a kingdom, a nation where you would come into and you would see and experience God's power. You would experience the presence. A holy nation, he wanted a kingdom, a place, domain where you walk and you enter holy space, sacred space, holy ground. Where instinctively you take your shoes off because you know that the holy, the sacred is here. He wanted a place where there was no lying, no stealing, no killing, no cheating, no none of that stuff. No envy, no covetousness. And he wanted it to be so clear that anyone that looked, never mind wanted to become a part of this space, would know that these people, forget the people, the presence of the king. So when he said, "I want a kingdom of kings," you see, kings have dominion. Kings have dominion. Kings have authority. Kings have a jurisdiction in which what they speak and what they say has authority and dominion and power. See, when he created us, when he created Adam, the first thing he says, have what? Dominion. Have dominion. And so he wanted a kingdom that had and has dominion. But what establishes that kingdom, what upholds it, are the precepts of that kingdom, the presence of the king. Unfortunately, kingdoms collided. What happens when kingdoms collide? What happens when kingdoms collide? We haven't got time to discuss this, but I'm going to skip it. You can have that as homework. Answers next week. But you will just talk about this for a second. It says in verse 6 that they ended up worshiping the gods of the land. How did that happen? How did that happen? Discuss. You got 1 minute. How did that happen? So let me paint the picture. God meets with his people in an amazing way. Says to them, I've called you to be a light to the Gentiles. Reign, have dominion, have authority. My presence will be in you and with you. Wherever you go, you will have success. A few verses later, they're worshiping the gods of the land. They're worshiping idols. They're following demons, sacrificing to demons. How did that happen in one generation? Like literally, one generation. Any thoughts? Compromising their faith. Wanting answers quickly. They might have been a microwave generation. 3 minutes is too long. Just put it for 2.5 minutes, it'll be fine. Yes. They intermarried, that's right. Now, I am married to a Bulgarian, so, and I am Nigerian, so nothing against intermarriage, I'm just saying. I'll qualify that statement in a minute. Okay. Sorry, one second. They took the Lord's word for granted, and that was... Now that is interesting. That is very interesting. We are both the same faith. Well, I was a Calvinist and she was an Arminian where we met. Yeah, but anyway, I won't say more of that. I won't say more about that. Yes. They were carried away by the things that they saw. This is, in Exodus, this is what the Bible gives the background. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with the Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, to the god of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. We live in a generation where they have heard so much for the last couple of decades about Christianity, about Jesus, about church, but they haven't seen the dominion of the King. There are people that have been trained to be empirical, scientific. A generation that wants to see it, to believe it. Now, faith is not blind. Faith is based on evidence. And we would encourage them to have faith. But the other side of that coin is, where is this dominion of the King? And what does it actually mean? Is it a hypothetical? Is it a hypothetical? You see, for the Israelites, it wasn't a hypothetical. God's intention was there actually would be a place where his presence would reside. And it was actually manifested when Solomon built the temple. Not just then, there were many times where the manifest presence of God would be manifested in his people. There were many times God, all through history, has wanted to dwell in the midst of his people and want his people to carry his dominion, to know their jurisdiction and the authority that he has invested in them. See, the problem is there is another kingdom that has invaded. There is another kingdom of darkness that has its ideologies, that has its precepts, that has its laws and has its ways of being. The outcome of that is sacrificing and bowing the knee to demonic ideologies and giving allegiance to the demonic. We have an enemy. There are principalities and there are powers. There are rulers of wickedness in heavenly places. They too have a domain and a dominion. See, what God was saying to the Israelites was, go and extend this peace, go and extend this truth, go and extend freedom and righteousness and deliverance and holiness so that people can literally walk out of one kingdom and into another I was born in Nigeria, and I came over to the UK with my parents when I was 16. And my parents came to the UK because of the British values, because of the Constitution, because of kingdom values. That was why my parents made a decision to move here. I use that as an example of being able to see one kingdom and saying, I want to relocate into that kingdom. Because I can see the values. I can see the peace. I can see that people are delivered. I can see that people are not in bondage. I can see that people are not bound in sexual immorality. I can see that there is a king who rules. I can see people who know who they are, the authority that they have, the dominion they've been given. And who understand that there is no need to compromise. Who understand why it's important to extend this kingdom. Because there is a generation who don't know how to fight. There is a generation that has been taken captive to the other gods. We know the story of David Goliath, and I'll begin to wrap up, because it's on my heart, this one. A few things about that story. That story has almost become a meme, right? David and Goliath. David is minding his own business, and a fight comes to him. He's not strong like his brothers, not muscular and tall like his brothers, so they give him a whole load of sheep, like go into the backside of nowhere and look after sheep. He's minding his business. He loves music. He's writing songs and being all, you know, if he had iPods, he'd be listening to his iPod writing songs, and he's trying to mind his own business. And wolves will turn up. And he has to figure out how to drive these wolves away. Now he's thinking, flipping heck, I just want peace. He just about gets used to fending off the wolves. All right, I'll go somewhere else then. And then lions turn up. So he has to upskill and learn how to deal with the lions. And just as he's used to that, I'm going to go somewhere else, sort something out. Another fight comes, not a lion, but a bear. He must have thought, I'm really unlucky. Like, God, what is going on? Why am I always under attack? See, when the wolves came, David would have thought that was his biggest problem to deal with. But the Lord knew, nah, there's another fight that you need to know how to fight. The lion's not going to be your biggest problem. You might be thinking, Pastor Mike, I've got enough problems right now. Praise God. Nah, there's a bear coming. Why? Why does the Lord want a generation to learn how to fight? See, David would have thought the bear would have been it. No. There's Goliath. You see, Goliath stood before a generation and said, give me one person. If I defeat you, all of you become my captives. All of you become my slaves. All of you, a whole generation is put in bondage to captivity, bondage to false ideology, bondage to all kinds of isms. Because there was no one that stood who was willing to go through that process of fighting the lion and fighting the bear. Goliath wasn't David's biggest challenge. He had a kingdom. He had a kingdom. His challenge was ruling a kingdom that would reflect all that God is. That was his challenge. Leading people into a kingdom where God's rule and God's reign and God's dominion is established. I don't know what fights are that you're dealing with, but I want to tell you this morning that there's a fight for you to fight. And this fight is for kingdom. It's not for red and blue. To be fair, it's not about that. It's not about red and blue. It's a fight for the kingdom. I want you to know that this morning God is asking you that there is a freedom that you need to fight for. There is a spiritual reality that you need to fight for. He has given you dominion. He has given you authority. He has given you jurisdiction. And the enemy has come and made you believe that it's okay to be under the dominion of whatever it is that is oppressing.
The enemy has made it okay for a generation to believe that it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be stressed. It's okay. It's not. We believe in the dominion of the king. And where the king rules, there is freedom. But what happens when kingdoms collide? The problem is we want a little bit of that kingdom. A little bit of that kingdom. Just a little bit. It looks okay. It looks all nice and sexy and whatever. And the next thing, you're intermarrying with the ideologies. I haven't got time, and I won't talk about King Solomon, but King Solomon's a perfect example who, for the sake of political correctness, for the sake of peace, for the sake of not having an argument, intermarried with all these ideologies and all these gods of the land. And eventually the Lord said to him, I can't. I'm going to finish now. But I'm going to say this. You have a fight to fight. You have a fight to fight. It's a spiritual fight. Do you know how? Do you know how? Do you know how to contend in the spiritual places? Because it's all right saying it. Do you know what it means for your prayer life? Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means for how you understand scripture, how you use scripture? Do you know what it means for fasting? Do you know these things? Are we a generation that actually doesn't know the weapons of our warfare? We don't know how to fight and engage. Do you know the jurisdiction that you have been given? You've been given jurisdiction over your family. That's legal, spiritual jurisdiction. You've been given dominion. What the Lord wants to say to you this morning is that there's a generation that needs to know how to fight. I did say about the youth, they don't know how to fight. I'm trying to teach them. But we can fight that fight for them. And that's why we need intercessors, to stand in for them. Because they don't know how to do these things. If not, Goliath takes them captive to depression and anxiety and all these things. We need the Davids who have learned to defeat the lion, defeat the bear, still standing and say, I'm going to fight for a generation so that they don't get captive. But do you know what it means to intercede and be in that place of intercession for time, in worship for time, pouring out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless, not me. I will not let you go unless you bless them. I will not let you go until that blood that you died and you shed is applied and we see the manifestations of their freedom. I will not let you go until we see a generation walking in the fullness and the power of God. I will not let you go until I see the kingdom made manifest, that our God rules so that somebody can walk into our building and know that they've walked into another kingdom. It's not a theoretical. It's meant to be life. Would you just pray with me? I don't know what your prayer is. I can't put that prayer into words for you. But you know what the prayer is. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. This is the thing that breaks my heart. It's that, Lord, we haven't even experienced it. We're talking about something, Lord, that we are yet to see. Oh, Holy Spirit, where is it in our experience, God? What is it that we have to do, Lord God? Where have we come from? My Father God, would this be a revealing, oh God, of how much of the other kingdom we have pledged allegiance to? Father God, would you forgive us when we've given our allegiance to the Baal of Peor, oh God? We've given our allegiance to the gods of the land, to the red and the blue. We've given our allegiance to whatever was the political trend of the day, and we've forgotten that we have a king who has a dominion. Oh, Holy Spirit, did you bring us back to that place where our allegiance is to you alone? Our allegiance is to seeing the manifestation, oh God, of your presence. Not in theory, oh God, not in hypothetical. So, Father God, we just come before you in repentance this morning, God. Holy Spirit, would you forgive us, Lord God, where we have split our loyalties? We've been called to be in your kingdom, under your rule, under your reign, exalting your word, lifting up your king, bowing to none other, oh God. Would you forgive us, Lord God, when we have pledged allegiance and bowed to and exalted the name of another? Father, forgive us for this. Please forgive us for this, Lord God. Holy Spirit, would you come and cleanse us? Would you come and cleanse us, Lord God? And would you come and establish your kingdom? Lord Jesus, we need to know how to fight against the narrative of the world. We need to know how to fight against the ideologies of the world. We need to fight, know how, Father God, to recognize our identity and not who the world wants us or tries to tell us that we are. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and teach us warfare again. Lord God, you want a generation that knows how to fight. You want a generation that knows the weapons of their warfare. You want a generation that tears down strongholds. A generation that stands on behalf of those who can't fight for them. Father, let it be us, oh God. Let that manifestation be here, Lord God. And so, Father God, move what you need to move in our lives. Train us up, Lord God. Let us not run from the fight. Let us not cower. Train us up, Lord God, so that we are the Davids and the Esthers and the Miriams and the Samuels and the Jeremiahs and the Elijahs and the Deborahs and the Father, let us be your people, a kingdom of priests and kings unto our God, who have authority and who have dominion and who extend the reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in our midst there'll be freedom, healing, deliverance. In our midst there would be peace. In our midst, there will be holiness. In our midst, there will be truth. And in our midst, there will be righteousness. Because our King reigns, and we exalt him, and we bow to none other. Heavenly Father, would you bless us with these things, Lord God? Let this be our portion. Let this be our inheritance. Let this be the inheritance of our children and our children's children. In Jesus' name, amen.
No, there's a really old hymn. So the old ones amongst us will have to teach it to the next generation, which will fit in with this, right? It just says, I will call upon the Lord, for he, that's it. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now it kind of overlaps, doesn't it? Is that right? I will call, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It's taken from David. He's just won the battle over Saul. It's like this is what David, King David, sang out. So we're going to stand, we're going to go out like that. You know, we're going to go out with joy, be led forth with peace, but we're also going to be led forth with this resounding kind of like, we win. This we win from our belly. Every time Michael was getting excited when he was preaching, did you notice he kept doing this? There was something going on in his belly. Some of us need something else other than certain food groups to be going on in our belly, and we're going to go out like that. So encourage your friends as you stand. We're going out like the army of God, all right? Hallelujah. It's great to be part of the bride of Christ. It's great to be part of the family of God. It's great to be part of all of that. But you know what? There's something about the army of God that's become awakened today. We're going out like that. Amen. So even if you don't know the song, it goes like this. I will call upon the. He is worthy to be. He is worthy to be. I be saved from my enemies. Now we see, we know the cause. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Coming back. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth. Sing it out. Blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be go get a sword. Just wave your sword in the air. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. If you've got a Bible, wave your Bible in the air. This is your sword. This is your sword. This is how we're going out. Amen. So encourage somebody. If anyone needs prayer, maybe you actually need prayer today to face the battle that you're facing tomorrow. Would you just come out now? Just come this way. If you just need a drink and you want to socialize, that's spiritual too. Teas and coffees are at the back. But before we go anywhere, we just want to say this to you. If you are here today and you have never given your life to Jesus and you've never become part of this army of God, you don't even know what that's going to look like for you tomorrow. But I want to encourage you right now to hand your life to the greatest commander you could ever serve. He is so faithful. He is so good. He is so true. And he's here right now and he's offering you salvation. This is the day of salvation. This is why he did it all. It was that you would today be given the opportunity to give your life to Jesus and to become part of the family of God and to become part of this vast army. So all heads bowed, all eyes shut. If you know that that's God knocking on the door of your heart today, I just want to invite you to lift up your hand and say, you know what, I'm all in. I give you my heart, Jesus. I give you my life. I've tried it on my own. And I don't know how that's gone for you. I know how it went for me. But maybe today is your day where you just want to say, Jesus, take my life. I repent of all my sin and all my wrongdoing, all the times I haven't been obedient and the times that I have wandered and strayed. I come back to you and I come back to this cross that is before me. And I thank you that you died for my sin upon that cross. You took it upon yourself to wage war against the enemy on my behalf. I want to receive all that you did for me on that day. So would you forgive me of all of my past sin and all of my present sin and everything I'm going to do in the future? I lay it before you and ask you to clean me up, Lord. And would you come and dwell in me? Would you live in me? Would you lead me? Would you clean me daily? I need your mercy and I need your grace. I need your leading, I need your wisdom, I need your peace. I invite it in. And I turn from my old life and I walk into your arms. I receive this as a gift. Thank you, God. And now being a new creation, I ask for you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may dwell in that river. Fill me up to overflowing, Jesus. Your promise still stands. I'm in. Great is your faithful. I'm in. Your faithful. I want to be safe in your hands. I'm still in your hands. I want to be confident. I want to be confident that you will never fail me the way other people have failed me. Does your promise still stand? Promise still stand. Really? Great is your faith. Your arms wide open for me. Woo! I'm in. Oh, I want to be still in your hands. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the arms that are everlasting and strong. Welcome to a new life. Welcome, new creation. We receive you as our own. Amen. If you've been in this room and you've made a commitment to Jesus, would you come and talk to Mike or myself, or just come talk to somebody, whoever brought you? We would love to speak with you just for a few moments. So enjoy your tea, enjoy your coffee, enjoy each other. Enjoy each other and have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.